evolution and the horse, what they've said about it. We're just going to continue through this. We're almost done with this study here. But it says, number two, evolutionists know that the horse chart is inaccurate. They know this, but they still keep pushing this forward on us. And again, just if we can just point out that it starts from the small, you know, they're smaller and they get bigger and bigger. So, of course, it had to be evolution, right? That's false thinking right there to just assume that as it's smaller and it's going to get bigger. Because what they say is they say that we came from monkeys. We came from apes. Do you all know how strong an ape is, a monkey is? I mean, they will literally rip a grown man to shreds. That's how strong they are. So if we're evolving, why would we lose that strength? That makes zero sense. That makes zero sense. I mean, I don't know, someone I'm friends with on Facebook posted up a video of hairless chimpanzees, and it was disgusting. I'm like, these things are gross, but I mean, they looked gross, but really, I mean, those guys are like ripped. I mean, you don't think about it. They are huge. Their arms are huge. I mean, they have some strength in them. And why would we lose that then if we're evolving and getting better? It doesn't make sense. It doesn't fit with the narrative they push. All right, George Simpson, he says, the transformation of Hyracotherium into Equus. So, this guy down here, you know, at the bottom, whatever, I mean, whichever one they say started it all off. You know, the guy down Hyracotherium into Equus, which is this one up here, modern day horse, okay? So dear to the heart of generations of textbook writers, never happened in nature. Said it never happened. But they push it like it does, and it's been in all our textbooks. I mean, I remember seeing all this stuff growing up. I remember seeing that. You know, they put it forth like it's truth. And children will believe it. Why would my teacher lie to me? Why would this textbook lie to me? Why would my principal lie to me? Why would my parents lie to me and allow me to learn this? They're going to believe it. See, we have to combat this false narrative that's put out there, that's being taught. We absolutely have to. This is not truth. They know it. All right, so he says it never happened in nature. There's no proof of it. All right, Niles Eldridge, American Museum of Natural History. He said the exhibit on horse evolution has been presented as literal truth in textbook after textbook. I think that is lamentable, cited from Darwin's Enigma. He says it's lamentable means it's worthy of crying over. He says it's horrible. This shouldn't be taking place. This is wrong. But it's presented as literal truth in textbook after textbook. Anybody here grew up seeing that stuff? Who in here grew up with that? Yeah. Amen. I remember growing up seeing all that. So a report on a four-day meeting of evolutionists at the Chicago Field Museum in 1980. Here's what they said. The popularly told example of horse evolution has long been known to be wrong. Now, this is evolutionists meeting, and here's what they say. The popularly told example of horse evolution has long been known to be wrong. Then why don't they take it out of the textbooks? Why do they still teach it like it's truth? Because they say, we'll push a lie because we'd rather believe this lie than believe the truth of what the Bible says. That's exactly why. Because men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. That is why. That's what it comes down to. They're not, some of them are. We've seen some examples of men who have integrity, and they might not believe like we do, but they say this isn't truth. It's not backed up by evidence. But many of them would rather push a lie than believe what the evidence leads to. So instead of gradual change, fossils of each species appear fully distinct, persist unchanged, and then become extinct. From the Houston Chronicle, reporting on this meeting of evolutionists at the Chicago Field Museum in 1980. So what does it say? Again, let's think critically. The last sentence, instead of gradual change, which is what they say this is, right? Gradual change, right? So instead of gradual change, fossils of each species appear fully distinct. Let's go to Genesis. Open up your Bibles to Genesis. Genesis 1:24. People say the Bible and science don't fit together. They don't add up together. Well, look, here's what all these evolutionists said. Again, I'm making a point of this because we need to understand the Bible's truth instead of gradual change, which is what they say happened. Okay, so instead of that being the actual evidence that we find when we go to a dig and we dig up these fossils and whatnot, instead of seeing gradual change, Here's what we actually find. Here's what the evidence says. Here's what we can test and prove and see. Fossils of each species appear fully distinct. They persist unchanged. They don't change. It's not going from this one, Eohippus, to Myohippus, to Meryohippus. It's not going from that. We don't see that happening. They're each distinct in and of themselves. They persist unchanged. There's no, missing link between these two or this one or this one. There's nothing like that. And then they become extinct. They just die off. They died. That's it. I mean, you got the tree huggers are always whining about what next animal's going extinct. Go to the zoo and just look at some of the exhibits and the stuff that they put there, and they'll say, oh, nearly extinct, endangered, and all this stuff. Well, does that mean it's in the evolutionary process of going to the next thing, or is it just its own species and died? Its own kind and died? Maybe that's what it means. So here's what the Bible says, Genesis 1:24, and God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beast of the earth after his kind, and it was so. That's exactly what the evidence says, is just what God told us. Just what God says is going to happen. They're going to bring forth after their kind. Fossils of each species appear fully distinct. They persist unchanged, and then they become extinct. Exactly what the Bible says is what the evidence proves. It's not foolish to believe the Bible. It's foolish to believe the lies that they put forth and expect us to just swallow them hook, line, sinker. So we've got to start thinking critically. We have to challenge these things. If anything disagrees with the Bible, you can know it's wrong. Any type of science disagrees with the Bible, you can know it's wrong. Just believe it. Why? Because the Bible's proven itself time and time and time and time again. We might not even have the evidence for it right now. Just wait long enough. It'll come up. I promise. It always does. True archaeology, science always agrees with the Word of God. Always. It never does not. Go to Isaiah chapter 40, please. Isaiah chapter 40. This is just something simple, but it's truth. Isaiah 40, 22 is what we're looking for. Now, this was written in about 700 BC. So that's roughly, somebody help me out, what's 2,000 plus 700? 2,700 years ago, right? Okay, now we all learned in school, you know, Columbus sailed the ocean blue in 1492. Columbus sailed the ocean blue. Not everyone, but the majority of people thought the world was flat. Okay, we're going to fall off the edge of the earth. Okay, that was the prevailing belief at that time. But here's what the Bible said all along. And now we've gone into space. We've been able to take pictures of the earth. And lo and behold, what do we know? Now that science caught up with the Bible, Isaiah 40, 22, it is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth. Well, how would Isaiah know that? That book's written by men. Okay, but how would he know that? I mean, Isaiah likely never left, you know, the Judea, the nation of Israel, that small space right there. The Middle East, at least. So how would he know that the earth was round? Unless God told him. Because God created it and God knew. There you have it right there in the Bible. God knew all along. It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth. Well, how would Isaiah have known that the earth was round? Unless God told him. See, it's been there all along. There's still things in there in the Bible like that, and we just need to believe them. But science doesn't say this. So what? So what if science doesn't say it? How many times have we seen just in going through this study here that science has been wrong? How many times have we seen science to be wrong? But you're looked at and you'll be laughed at as a fool if you actually believe what the Bible says and you go against what modern science says. I mean, I'm still waiting for global warming to hit. I mean, we're all supposed to be underwater at this point, according to Al Gore. That's what he said. I mean, he had ulterior motives in all that. Money. It didn't happen. He gave the date already. By now, we're supposed to be swimming here. Oceanfront property, right here. That's what he said. It's going to happen. It didn't happen. But that was science. Do they apologize for it when they're wrong? No, okay. I was working with the city when that movie came out. What was it called? Somebody help me out. That movie Al Gore put out. An Inconvenient Truth, I think is what it was. An Inconvenient Truth. He put that movie out. Some of you might not know what I'm talking about. Some of you will. That was in 2005, maybe 2006. And our mayor at the time, Mayor Martin Chavez, had every city worker go through and watch that movie. They paid us. I mean, I don't know how many, you know, that's probably 4 or 5 hours they paid each employee to watch propaganda nonsense that ended up being false. But they still push it. And then it was global warming. And then they saw that's not working, so we're going to have to make it climate change. They keep adapting it, but they don't apologize for when they were wrong. I haven't received an apology from them that, oh, that was bogus and nonsense, because Al Gore in that movie predicted that by now most of the world would be underwater if we didn't, you know, make our carbon footprint smaller. I mean, these people are brain dead. I'm just telling you. They're not thinking, because the plants out there, they need the carbon dioxide we breathe out. They need it. That's our carbon footprint. It's just a scam to tax us more. And I could get off on all that too, but that's what it is. It's just a means of making money. They want to try and make money off of us. And that's all it is. That's all it's ever been about. It's not any truth about science or trying to protect the earth and all that. Some people fall for that, but that's not ever what it was really about. It was about money. This right here. Look, Satan's fingerprints. What did I tell you, right? I mean, money, blood, sex. That's his fingerprints. You find that, Satan's behind it somewhere. You follow any corrupt thing, it's going to have one of those three things at the heart of it. One of those three. That's Satan's fingerprints. He's stuck it there. One of those three. All right, so they don't apologize for any of this stuff. They just kind of move on and just, hey, hopefully we indoctrinated you enough. You just keep following what we're teaching you. And forget that that was wrong. We won't bring it up. Just keep coming along with us. Keep moving where we're moving. All right, the various types of horses coexist in the fossil record. All these types, they say, are, you know, one leading to the other, but they all coexist, meaning at the same time in the fossil record. In one fossil graveyard in northeastern Nebraska, they found 5 species of horses coexisting in one time and place. Uh-oh, wait a minute. These were supposed to pass on from one to the other. What are they talking about? Again, the evidence doesn't agree with what they're teaching. But they're not going to tell you that in the textbook. Why? Because that goes against the anti-God philosophy, the Antichrist teaching that's out there. And mark it down, that's what it is. It's Antichrist teaching. That's what it is, to get you to hate God, to get you against God. That's what it is. The God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them. And how many kids do you have that have grown up all the way in public education all their life, and they get into college and they hate God? It's common. It's Antichrist, and he's teaching this stuff. It doesn't matter what the evidence says. Who cares? Just go along with what we've told you. The evidence says that 5 species of horses are coexisting in one time and place, including 3-toed and 1-toed horses. The ones they say where it all started down here. 3-toed, 1-toed. What? These are supposed 3 million years ago. 60 million years ago. Wait a minute. Someone lived a long time. Or it's nonsense. Or it's nonsense. This shows that one type of horse is not older than the others, and they did not evolve from one another. Amen. They just came into being. There's no reason to consider Hyracotherium any type of horse. All right, this thing. The reconstructions of Hyracotherium are designed to make the creature look as horse-like as possible. So this is what they say. It all came from this thing, and they try and make it look like a horse. Here's another one. Isn't that ugly looking? Well, that's what they put it there. But it looks real, doesn't it? Does that look fake to anyone? It looks like a real animal that existed, does it not? Or, I mean, it even still could in some part of the world we've never been to, right? I mean, who knows? There's all sorts of stuff I've never seen. So, look, it looks real. Right? And there's the artist's drawing. Look at how it turned more like a horse. See it? It's turning more like a horse. Galloping like a horse. See, they draw the pictures and it looks like a horse. It looks exactly like a horse. I mean, or close to it. Here's the, this is on displays here in scientific, you know, museums and stuff, not living in herds like horses. They just draw them. So it imprints that picture in your mind. And you're like, that's truth. I saw them in a herd. You didn't really, but it's still in your mind. The picture's in your mind that now it's more believable. Okay, here's another display of them. All right, but if we look at the actual skeleton reconstruction, we see that its back legs were much longer than its front legs. It's obvious that it looked and moved nothing like a horse. I mean, look at how long the back legs are from here, like that, to this little thing. I mean, look, if you put that thing's going to be down like this. I'm over-exaggerating it, but it's not going to be like a horse's like this. That thing's going to be down like this. All right, notice the hind legs. Look, this is a horse right here, and this is that Hyracotherium, okay? Completely different, just different design right here, different design. The front legs, same thing, different design. These go back like that. Look at this, completely different. I mean, nothing alike. The spine, I mean, this is straight. Look at this thing, big old hump, okay? Nothing alike. The Hyracotherium probably looked even less horse-like than this drawing, but this is more accurate than what they're showing. But it looked even less horse-like than this. To me, it looks like a rat when you look at it. But here's a correct reconstruction of the skeleton, but its display is in an unrealistic manner to make it appear horse-like. I mean, because, you know, you see horses jumping, you know, jumping things. So they make it look, so you think, oh, a horse. I mean, they're putting something. This is propaganda is what this is called. Okay, this is called propaganda. They're getting you to think something. They're pushing you in a certain direction. Whether it's truth or not, they're feeding it to you over and over and over and over and over again. Repeat a lie long enough and often enough, they'll believe anything. I think it was Hitler that said, I'm paraphrasing here, but he said, make it the most outrageous lie you can and just stand on it and don't back down from it and people will believe it. And look at all the lies he told about Jews. No basis in any type of evidence, but he told all these lies about Jews, and he had a whole country that even to this day, there's still people in that country that hate Jews and think they're lower than the rest of us. Why? Because he said it so often, so much. They indoctrinated that Hitler youth. A lot of the adults didn't buy it. They might have gone along, but they didn't buy it. They said, that's nonsense. They knew better. But the children, look into some of what Hitler did, and you got his Hitler youth. He had children turning in their own parents because they weren't, you know, Nazi enough. Turning them in, and their parents being thrown to concentration camps. He's a type of the Antichrist. I'm telling you right now, that's a prototype of the Antichrist and what the Antichrist is going to do. I mean, Satan's testing stuff out. Look, he doesn't know when Jesus Christ is coming back, the same as the rest of us. He doesn't know either. He does not know when he's coming back. My personal opinion, I can't 100% prove this from the Bible, but my personal opinion is that he has an Antichrist ready to go in every generation because he doesn't know when he's coming back. He's got to have someone he can throw up there and push on the scene. At any given time. Just my opinion. But look, you get them when they're young and you start teaching them these things, they're going to believe it and they'll buy it. And most of us, if we've been taught something in our youth all the way up through into adulthood, it's hard to get that out of us. It's hard to think any different than what was ingrained in us when we were young. How many of us have heard as we've gone out soul winning? Or witnessing to family or something like that. I was born a Catholic, I'm going to die a Catholic. Why? Because from the time they were like this, all the way up to an adult, they were indoctrinated in it and they just bought it. And it's hard to get it out. And that's the same thing with this belief. We give it to them, we feed it to them. And look, I mean, I saw the display. It was jumping like a horse, right? This is not science, it is myth-making. I mean, that's all it is. It's not in factual evidence, it's just myths. It's not truth. It's false. All right, to arrange horses in evolutionary order ignores the fact that modern horses come in a wide variety. So we put them from smaller to bigger. So, you know, did this horse, is this the mom of this horse? We think, no way, that's crazy. That don't make any sense. Well, but it's smaller. Didn't it have to come? No, there's just different variations within the species. Look at this. From the draft horse, which weighs nearly 3,000 pounds, that's a beast. I mean, that thing is huge. Stands 7 feet tall to the miniature horse Thumbelina that weighs 57 pounds and stands 17 inches tall. I mean, look at that. That's incredible. But you can tell they're both horses. They reproduce after their kind. Again, we're not disputing that there's variations within the kind, but all of these are still horses. They're all still horses. All right, horse evolution is a myth. And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing, the beast of the earth after his kind, and it was so. All right, let me move to the next one here. Give me just a second. All right, so again, we're almost done. This is all the topics we've gone through. We are here on the end. We're looking at whale evolution, and then we'll get into icons of creation. So whale evolution. All right, in the first edition of On the Origin of Species, Darwin speculated, that the whale evolved from the bear. I don't even understand that. Where do you even come up with that? I mean, that's like me saying the bird evolved from, you know, a mosquito. Because they both fly. I'm like, what? How would that happen? I don't know, but they both fly. They have wings, so. Right? No, I don't understand this at all. But anyway, it doesn't matter when you throw out any, like, objective reasoning, thinking, anything like that. Darwin said this, I can see no difficulty in a race of bears being rendered by natural selection. Now remember, natural selection says it's only going to select what's best and what will help that creature. Okay, that's natural selection, is it's not going to pick anything that's harmful for it. So why would a bear that's already surviving and living on land and eating, you know, they do eat fish, so they do go in the water, but why aren't we seeing like morphs of bears even still now? It doesn't make any sense. None of it fits. So why wouldn't it just stay on land where it's been working all this time? And when we get into icons of creation, you're going to see some of the things that they say have to happen are impossibilities. Even with the whale, we'll look at some if we get to it today. Today, so Darwin said they came from bears, right? Okay, sorry, I didn't finish reading the quote. By natural selection, more and more aquatic in their structure and habits, with larger and larger mouths, till a creature was produced as monstrous as a whale. So just because they start getting in the water, and what do you know, their mouth just starts getting bigger and bigger for some reason. Who knows why, but it does. And we don't have to prove it, it just does, okay? That's what he's saying. All right, till a creature was produced as monstrous as a whale. That's what Darwin said. Today, most evolutionists believe that the whale evolved from a wolf-like animal called a Masonix or a Sinonix. So, okay, we'll go from a bear to a dog. All right, whatever. It doesn't matter. Okay, here's what evolution starts with. We came out of the water because we needed to, right? The ooze in the water and whatever that creature was, it slowly evolved, and we came out and evolved all the way to man. But then somewhere in there, we said, wait, we need to get back in the water, and we went back in and started evolving into something else. That's what they're teaching us here. All right, this chart at the Pacific Science Center, okay? Science, falsely so-called, in Seattle depicts all of the whales descending from a Masonic creature. I mean, there's no evidence of it, but there it is. I can see how that would happen. You know, a Labrador turning into a whale here. It makes sense to me, right? Man, it's crazy. So a reconstruction of the Masonics at the British Museum of Natural History. A reconstruction of the Sinonics at the University of Michigan Museum. I mean, there its mouth's getting bigger. Look. Okay. There it is. It's getting bigger. All right, the story of whale evolution hasn't changed much since Darwin. The only switch has been from a bear to a wolf. Consider the following just-so story from National Geographic. The whale's ascendancy to sovereign size apparently began... Look, that's key word for we believe. Apparently. We don't know. We have no proof. We believe. Thinking critically, what is that? It's faith. We don't know. We can't prove it. It's faith. Now remember, we looked at last week, again, let's go ahead and turn there, go to Romans 12. Romans 12:3, when you get there, say, hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, for I say through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, get this, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. God's given to every single one of us a measure of faith. What are we going to do with it? The evolutionist puts it in this. Here's what they say. The whale's ascendancy to sovereign size, apparently, that's just keyword for we believe, we have faith in this, apparently began 60 million years ago. Well, they can't prove it because nobody was there. So we reject this. We will not stand for this. So apparently 60 million years ago, because if we say 60 million years ago, then that definitely means that in the beginning God created and 6,000 years ago is out the window. If this is truth, what they're saying, then this throw this away. If you believe this, then throw this away. This is garbage. This is false. If that's where you're at, these two are not compatible. You got these compromising preachers and stuff that are going to say, oh no, there's the, theistic evolution. That's garbage. That's not what this book teaches. If you just believe what it says, you will not find that in here. What they're trying to do is they're trying to find middle ground with this nonsense that's not based in any evidence and the Bible, so they're compromising what God's Word says. They don't fit. They're not compatible. It's one or the other. So are you against science? No, I'm for real science. I'm against lies. Real science matches this. It always does. What we can test and prove and see fits with this. Not that. All right, so the code word here apparently, just believe 60 million years ago when hairy, four-legged mammals in search of food or sanctuary. How do they know? How do they know? Did they ask them? How do they have any idea? See, we'll just accept this stuff without thinking about it. We have to think critically. I mean, analyze what it's saying right here. So four-legged animals, mammals, in search of food or sanctuary. How do we know that's what they were doing? But here's what they say they did. They ventured into the water. That's all belief. That's a fairy tale right there. We just believe it. That's it. We just believe it. They're going to throw the same things at us. You just believe those fairy tales. Well, except God's never been wrong. God has never been wrong. When we compare statements in here with known facts, He's never wrong. They're always wrong. Where are you going to put your faith then? I'll put it in this. See, I wasn't there when God created everything. They weren't there when their so-called 60 million years ago took place. But I know the one who was there. And he told me what happened. And I can prove that he tells the truth based on everything else he's put in here that fits with facts and is never wrong. Therefore, mine is based in evidence. And theirs is not based in evidence. And what they do use to try and prove evolution only proves microevolution, the variation within kinds. They use that to try and prove macroevolution, the change from a dog to a whale. They do use what you can observe to prove what you can't observe. And they say there's proof for evolution. No, that's not proof for evolution. That's proof exactly for what God said. There's still a dog. That's all you ever see the change. It's still a bird. It's still a whale. It's still a sea creature, whatever, however you want to label it. It's still what it always was. But they went out in search of food or sanctuary. They ventured into the water. As eons passed, because they were there, right? We just had enough time and anything's possible. Because, right? I mean, well, I couldn't be there. I don't know. I couldn't see all the changes that would have taken place. And that's the argument they're going to use for you. You start talking to them about it. They'll be like, well, the changes are so gradual, we can't see them in our lifetime. Oh, that's pretty convenient. You can't prove it. What emails? They're being deleted. No evidence. You can't. Same thing. Can't see it. It's so gradual, you won't notice it. Well, where are these missing links then? They're not there. Just believe what we tell you. Stop thinking for yourself. Here, watch a football game. Turn your brain off. Watch a fight. Watch UFC. Watch two women beat their faces in. Come on. Entertain yourself. Bread and circus. That's what the Roman Empire did. Just entertain yourself to death. Shut your brain off. Stop thinking. That's what happens. That's what I'm talking about. I like football. Does it consume us? Do these things consume our thoughts? Are we so, you know, it's called a television program. It's teaching you something, whether you accept that or not, it is. The music you listen to is indoctrinating you into something. It's preaching a message to you, whether you accept that or not. It is. Why do you think all these kids, you know, you look back at Columbine and stuff, and they went and shot up that school. What kind of music were they listening to? Hardcore metal. Talking about death, killing people. Wonder why they went and did it. It's hard to figure out. It's hard to figure out. These kids feasting their brains on all these gory, wicked, evil video games that put you as a first-person shooter. What does it mean? The screen is like it's your eyes and you're seeing it, you're living it. So it's like the camera's like this as you go about, and it's making it real and you're shooting the person. So now there is no problem killing somebody. I've seen it done 100 times in a video game, thousands of times. Seen it happen in the movies. So we get numb to it. We don't feel it. It's teaching us something. We're being programmed with something. We got to pull back from that and begin to start thinking for ourselves. Start thinking for ourselves. Think critically. Look at what they're telling us. As eons passed, changes slowly occurred. They weren't there. They didn't see it, and they don't have evidence for it. But it happened. We just have to believe it. Hind legs disappeared. We don't have any proof, but they did. Because they had to have, because we believe it went from a dog to a whale. So it had to have happened. Front legs changed into flippers. We don't have any proof, but it had to have happened. Why didn't they lose the front flippers too? Why didn't the front legs go away as well? I mean, how did it know that it needed that? Or it didn't need it? I mean, why would one happen, not the other? Hair gave way to a thick, smooth blanket of blubber. Why? And where's the evidence for it? No, you just believe it. National Geographic is telling us, so you just believe it. Science. Nostrils moved to the top of the head. Why? It doesn't matter why. The tail broadened into flukes. Right here, the tail turned into this. So this thin little thing right there turned into this. This, you know, 50, 60 pound thing turned into this 3,000 or 300 ton whale. Of course. Doesn't that make sense? And in the buoyant water world, the body became enormous. Look, hey, don't go swimming if you're trying to lose weight. That's what that teaches you right there. Okay, don't go swimming if you're trying to lose weight. Because in that buoyant world, your body will become enormous. But the change will be so slow, you won't really notice it till like 3 years later. And you're like, how did I gain all this weight? And you can just say, I went swimming. That's your next excuse. All right, I was swimming. That's why. Man. All right, thus evolutionists would have us believe that a little wolf-like creature became the great blue whale weighing 360,000 pounds. Come on. Look at how enormous an elephant is. You've gone to the zoo, you've seen an elephant. That thing's enormous. I mean, I saw an elephant just completely thrashing a car. I mean, just grabbing that thing with its trunk and just like, wham, 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 just slamming that thing. That's how much power that whale, that elephant had. And they're huge. And a dog turned into this. Come on. This is science right here. This is science today. This is what science is teaching us. So whale missing links. Look, you get a good artist. I see how it happened. Make perfect sense. See, we see the pictures, so then, oh, yep. It fits. Children will believe that. Adults will believe that. The display at the University of Michigan Museum is typical, this display. It shows the wolf-like creature evolving into the Ambulocetus, then the Rotocetus, then the Dorudon, then the Basilosaurus. And look, I mean, you're going to get it. You get into discussions with people like this, and they're somewhat educated in this stuff. They might start using words like this. And when they use words like that, we tend to just shrink and be like, oh, I don't know what I'm talking about then. And just tell them, what are you talking about? Just say, oh, the missing link. Or just throw that out there. Oh, that you're talking about the missing link that you guys say existed? I mean, just ask them to define it. What are you talking about? I don't understand. What's the, Ambulocetus? What is that? What are you talking about? Just tell them. But here's what they say happened. You know, this all the way down makes perfect sense. whale evolution. So the constructions have not been scientifically honest. The reconstructions have not been scientifically honest. This is a mere exercise in homology. There are creatures today that live on land and in the water. And then consider how miraculous it would be for a wolf to evolve into a whale. And then we'll look at vestigial hind legs as a myth. All right, we'll pick up on that next week though.